Good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And I have to say, it was a little bit of an anti-climax to the weekend, that Manchester United game. I didn't think it came alive in the last sort of 10 or 15 minutes, but it was a little bit dull, wasn't it?
I was quite happy with it being dull.
It was a little bit dull.
If it was going to bring you a clean sheet for Robinson and then just an annoying deflected goal ruining life.
Bit jammy, that, from Martinez.
A bit jammy.
Gets a big deflection off of Lukic, doesn't it, go over. And then I think just as we were sitting down, just about to go live, you said, oh, Ahmad scored. But I think that got ruled out, chat, I think.
Tell us.
Yeah, I think it got ruled out. So I think that's now done. Manchester United have won that 1-0. We think we've sorted the microphones out, guys. Tell us if we haven't. We think it's sorted out. I've done a few tests throughout the week. We've done a little bit of to-in and fro-in. I think mine is fine, as usual.
We can never replicate a problem.
Well, I feel like, yeah, the testing that we did just before we come on, that seemed fine. But if Sam is still a bit echoey and George is saying you are still a bit echoey, then...
I don't understand, because it was literally fine before we came on.
Yeah,
I know. We tested it, it was fine.
I know. We'll have to see how we go again tonight, guys. If it means turning off your mic altogether and just having one mic in the middle, we'll do that. But Attaboy saying it's all good. Torben saying sounds all good.
Might just be George.
I don't think it's just George. I tested it a lot. I did a lot. I was so annoyed with it at the back end of the last stream last Sunday that I was just testing. So I'm hoping, and I watched so many YouTube videos on like microphone bleed and all that sort of stuff, right? So I'm hoping, fingers crossed, it's all good. It's all good. So guys, tell us if it's bad, but I'm hoping it's all good. I wanted desperately, Sam, to put something in the title of this YouTube video about cherry picking, but I feel like that headline, that clickbaity title has been used so many times, but they are the real bloody deal, aren't they, at the moment? Performance of the weekend has to go to Bournemouth, doesn't it?
They were good. Great again. I mean, and I feel like every week we sit here and we go, yeah, Bournemouth played well.
Yeah.
But because the fairy...
Not getting them in FPL for some reason.
Well, no, but I think also... Well, I have been invested in Bournemouth over the course of the season, but they just
keep picking up injuries.
And, you know, then I've had to tell them. But I think the point I was going to make was, I think that because there's been another fairy tale that actually they turned into a nightmare, didn't they, for Forest this weekend. But because Forest have been so good this season, I think there's been a lot of... maybe overlooking of teams like Bournemouth. But again, another really, really great performance from them.
But I had a really good conversation with Aman, one of our patron supporters. I had a call with him, one of our Zoom calls on a Friday. And we got quite into, obviously he's a Liverpool fan, so of course we were talking about treble Liverpool. And we'll discuss more about the red side of Merseyside a bit later. We also have to talk about the blue side of Merseyside, because obviously a double game week coming up next game week for Liverpool and Everton. And Everton... maybe a little bit more on radar than they would have been before the Moyes-Iyer came in 2 or 3 weeks ago. So we have to think about...
He's not calling that.
What, the Moyes-Iyer? I saw that headline on Twitter during the week. I thought it was quite good.
No.
Do you not like
that's
it?
That's terrible.
The Moyes-Iyer.
Just call him...
David.
David.
But anyway, their assets now on radar, I think, maybe with the exception of poor old Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who I know some will have gone early on.
Injured again.
I know some will have gone early on. This is...
Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
This is what you're going to get with DCL, I'm afraid. It's just, you know what you're buying into if you get DCL. Yeah. That is the risk. It is the risk. But I was talking to a man about Bournemouth in particular, as well as Liverpool and Everton. I know Tuara come up in conversation more than one occasion. We were having the conversation about Cliver and obviously Semenyo. I don't know whether a man went early on Bournemouth, but it's starting to feel like it's maybe not for this week, because it's Liverpool this week, right? Although they can score against us, no doubt. Absolutely no doubt. But from what are we on? What have we just had? Game week 20. I'm losing track of time. Game week 23. So from game week 25 onwards, definitely on radar. Definitely, definitely on radar. And I have some thoughts about young Mr. Cliver in particular. Full of confidence right now. Absolutely full of... You look a bit cold.
I'm
are you
so
all right?
Cold. I don't know what's the matter with me. I've sat here and I'm now like freezing. I'm thinking I should have brought a blanket in with me.
Blanket?
It's
just spending the day out at Spurs.
I got so wet today. I've never been that wet, I don't think, ever in my whole life.
Is the atmosphere a bit frosty at Spurs as well?
Do you want this cup of tea over your head?
I'm not having an opinion on Spurs.
But before we went live, I went in the kitchen and got my hair straighteners and straightened my hair. It didn't even need doing, but just because it would be warm around
just
my neck.
Some warm.
And I've just sat here and I'm like, normally I didn't get an extra layer because I thought this room gets so hot. But I'm so cold.
It'll warm up. It'll
I'm
warm
just
up.
Hugging this cup of tea currently. The podcasters are like, what are you talking about? I'm actually
hunched over and a bit like, as if
I'm actually
chilly.
Shivering. Like, my hands are shaking.
Do you want to go get a blanket?
No.
You sure?
I'm like a little old lady. I can't sit here with a blanket, Lee.
It's like daughter like mother as well, because Evie... She decided, so it's her birthday recently, and you know, like, kids save up their, she's very lucky, she gets some nice birthday money from her grandparents and stuff. And, you know, most kids would be saving it for, you know, I don't know, Lego, or in her case, you know, I don't know, iTunes
vouchers
or something to do with Lilo and Stitch, probably. She's obsessed with that thing. But no, she bought herself an electric blanket.
She wanted a heated blanket.
Oh my god, it's exactly
she's
like you.
She's in a bed. She's so exactly funny. Like she's you. Like, I'm gonna take. She said to me, we got in the car to come home from Spurs, and she and we were both freezing cold, soaking wet.
And
she,
not happy.
She sat next to me in the car in the front because she's big enough now, and she looked at me and she went, I can't wait to get home and get in my electric blanket.
She's so like you. Absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. We've had a couple of super chats from people, Sam. Let's say hello to all of you. Thank you for joining us tonight on FPL Family. You guys. In literally the Man United game's gone down, bang, you're in here to listen to us talk guff and waffle for an hour or so. So thank you very much indeed. Malachi Fox in with another super chat. Malachi, you should just become a member on the channel, mate, and then you don't have to do $5 every day, every Sunday. But we do appreciate you, mate. Malachi Fox, hi Lee and Sam. Hello, mate. Hope you're both well. Doing all right?
Bit cold.
70 points this week with Isak as captain, but has to be Mo captain for game week 24. Malachi, well done. 70 points is very, very good this week. We will, of course, talk about captaincy for game week 24 and what we're thinking ahead of the double. I've got my three Liverpool assets in place. You've got your three Liverpool assets in place. Do you feel like you've got the right three?
I've got three.
You've got three. All right, remind us. Trent, Salah, Diaz. Yeah, yeah, me is Trent, Salah, Gakpo. So we'll talk about that.
By the way. You're welcome.
Yeah, no, I'm not having that, really. I'm not really having that. I'm not really having that. You see, I was on Gakpo. I was on João Pedro to Gakpo most of the week.
Oh,
and
shush.
I just...
You are such an outrageous liar.
What?
You were not. You were
Come
not.
Come on.
You were selling... You were going to wait a week. You didn't think you didn't think you could sell João Pedro ahead of the game against Everton. You thought Brighton would go and smash him. I said no. No, Lee. You're doing it. You've got to do it this week. You're bloody welcome, husband.
It was, excuse me, that hurt. It was nothing to do. I wouldn't say it was
welcome.
Nothing to do with you, but I would say you had a very, very small influence over it. I made my own decision and I did not really pay. I didn't pay that much. You are bigging yourself up here.
You are so welcome.
Because
you would have waited till next week and you'd have had João Pedro with nothing. Instead. What a lucky man you are to have me as your wife and tell you to do these things. How lucky you are.
Sam, the day I take Liverpool advice from you, I
you
will
did.
Stop playing
this
FPL.
Week you did.
I just. No, forget
didn't
it.
Didn't take it from me this
forget
week.
Forget it. Simon MB, thank you, mate, for the member chat. A member for 34 months. 3 weeks ago, I said to myself, I really like Django, Ouattara and Kluivert as options. I think we all said that, mate, didn't we? Did I select them? No, of course I didn't. 34 months, by the way. Thank you, mate, for being a member here at FPL Family for 34 months. And if you want to join Simon and have your chats highlighted and spoken about by Sam and I as we talk our guff and waffle here on FPL Family on a Sunday night, then you can hit the join button right next to the subscribe button on the channel, and you can be like Simon and John and loads of the other folks that are in here tonight as FPL Family members. He's absolutely right. We've been saying for a few weeks now, as you said, Bournemouth look on it. We want their assets, and none of us have really gone there because it's been Newcastle. It's Liverpool coming up.
Forest,
and then it's Liverpool. So we're like, the fixtures look a bit iffy. But if you did go early into Bournemouth this week, fair play, absolutely fair play, because that was what you call a performance. And I think we're going to start there in just a second. But before we do, let's say hello to a few more people. Kingdom FC, very nice to see you, mate. George is in. Hey, George, nice to see you, mate, as ever. Lovely to see you every single Sunday. Mohit is here. Wilco is in. Hey, Wilco. Brandon Anthony Hayes is in. John Robert Knight, nice to see you. Nice to see you. Just somebody called Dave is here. Dave,
hi,
nice
Dave.
To see you, Dave.
Maybe it's David Moyes.
I doubt it. I don't think David... Do you think David Moyes calls himself Dave or David? He's a David. He's not Dave.
If I ever meet him, I'm calling him Dave.
Yeah, I'm going to call him the Moisiah.
No, please don't. That's a ridiculous name.
Kevin Taylor is in. He's on 70 points this week. Very nice, Kevin. Very nice indeed. Malachi, as we said before, is in. Luke B, 73 this week. Mate, this got some good scores out there, guys. Some good scores in the chat. Liking it. Craig Veltri is in. You guys are great. Ah, oh, thanks, Craig. Appreciate you, mate. Appreciate
Thank you.
Heather is in. Daniel Banks, I'm on 69 as well, mate. Some good scores. Really good scores, chat. I love it. Peter Tidsdale, 67 and a great arrow this week. Guys, it's sounding very, very good indeed. B is in, Sam. You'll be very pleased to hear. She says, B. Hi, guys. Hi, need all the chocolate today. Can Spurs catch a break? Well, B, you'll be pleased to hear that we do not shy away from the difficult conversations here on FPL Family. Sam will, of course, have to talk about her experience at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium today.
That
might be your cue to go
we
and get the blanket.
B, yeah. If it makes you feel better. Could be worse.
We haven't got any chocolate.
We literally haven't got any chocolate in the house. Oh. We haven't got any food in the house at the moment. And we normally get our shop on a Monday. Can't even get one delivered tomorrow. So God only knows what's going to happen.
Shall I tell you why there's no chocolate in the house?
Why?
Because me and Max ate the last remaining bar when we got in. We were so chuffed. Honestly, Max's team were 4-2 down with 4 minutes to go today. London Colney Youth Tigers under 11s, 4-4. Get in. Get in. What a comeback. I had to run the line as well in the stormy, horrible weather. But I did. I took one for the team, Sam. Look at your face. It's like, would you want a fucking medal or something? It's like, what? It's like, well done, love. Yeah, I like it. Yeah, I like it.
No, I was just kind of wondering where this was going. Are you telling me that bar of chocolate I left in the fridge for tonight is gone?
The one with the Christmas treats on it, left over from Christmas.
Are you taking a piss now?
That is gone.
Are you actually serious?
No, it's gone.
Oh my God.
That's gone. Oh, sorry. It's gone.
Do you know what? I didn't eat any of Evie's 12 bar. Bites at the game today on the basis that I knew I had that to eat tonight after this stream when
sorry
I watched Love
that.
Island and you've eaten it.
The Love Island chocolate's not going to be
you
there.
You are an absolute...
B, get in the chat. Let us know. Is that divorce material? Is that... Have you got a good divorce lawyer, B? Because that is... That's a nightmare.
I'm actually
that's
disgusted, isn't
it? Generic is in 4-4, isn't a win lead. Generic... I'll tell you what. The way that's been going with London Colney Youth, it felt like a win, mate. I can tell you.
After
don't
the results
knock
we've
it.
Had lately, when... I'm sat in the Spurs Stadium and I got that text that those boys, God love those boys, given
yes.
that they're playing 9-a-side for the first time this season and they only had 9 players against a squad of like 15 that the other team did. When I saw
well.
It ping up that it was full time and it was 4-4, I was so
they
happy
did well.
To see that. And
they did well.
When I called Max, I was expecting him to be bouncing off the walls and he went, yeah. We were all right today. And I was like, Max, mate, come on.
There we go. Have some chocolate.
No, don't eat my blooming chocolate. I needed that.
Super chat from George. George, you do not need to keep super chatting, mate.
He does. I need to buy some chocolate.
Keep super chatting and funding the chocolate fund, guys. George, thank you either way for the super chat. Oh, George, why have you got to say this?
No, if it's about Spurs, I don't want to know.
Sam told you, Wad O'Hana, to go early on Gakpo for the Ipswich
George,
game.
I see. I nearly said, I think it was on our
George,
O'Hana
you don't
podcast.
Need to throw me under the bus
I did,
like that.
I did tell you, and you were going, no, I think I'm going to wait a week.
Oh, please.
I did tell you, and all you've done is eat my chocolate. That's how you've paid me. You're an absolute...
George, you throw me right under the bus
Thank
there,
you,
pal.
George.
Appreciate it. Simon MB, another guy that doesn't need... You don't need to super chat, Simon, but we appreciate you.
He's buying the chocolate as well.
The chocolate fund. Question, are Villa assets right now the most frustrating own? And he's asked his own question. Yes, yes, they are. Aside from Bournemouth, is it time to commit to Everton as well? Well, listen, let's get into this. Let's get into this, Sam. I want to get on to... the game week results. And I do want to start with the ones that Simon has discussed. I mean, Villa, I don't think we need to discuss that in too much detail, but I do want to do Bournemouth and I do want to do Everton because they were two quite standout results from the weekend. We'll do Everton and Liverpool together in the context of the double game week.
Okay.
But let's do Bournemouth because Bournemouth 5, Nottingham Forest 0. I mean, I wasn't expecting necessarily Forest to go in and win this game. I thought it'd be a difficult game for them. I knew it'd be a good game.
I had it down as a draw on Sleeper.
I had it down as a draw on Sleeper because I just thought Forest, with that Brighton like to play the high press. They like to play high tempo. They're in your face a little bit. And I just thought if Forest can break that press, they can transition quite nicely into counter-attack. We've seen that time and time again with Forest. But the early goal made all the difference here, didn't it? The early goal. Because then Brighton... Oh God, what's wrong with me tonight? But then, because then Bournemouth didn't have to commit quite so much. And they almost encouraged Forest to come onto them a little bit and played them at their own game. It was tactically brilliant from Iriola. And the more I see from Iriola and the more I see from Bournemouth, the more impressed I get. I want to touch on the fixtures for Bournemouth, because here we go. A lot of FPL managers might not look at them this week because, of course, Everton, Liverpool got the double game week. There's a few in there with some very nice fixtures for 24. But Bournemouth, of course, have got the Liverpool game. Liverpool at home, so can they score? Yes, of course they can, but you wouldn't, I guess, back them for a clean sheet necessarily against Liverpool. But once that game is out of the way, Sam, Southampton away in 25, Wolves, Brighton, Spurs and Brentford. We are going to be piling in, are we not, in 25? And if we are, where are we going?
Yeah, it's a shame, really, that the Evan Nelson injury happened, because I was quite enjoying being invested in Bournemouth. And I know that there's a lot of managers out there that have already got a Bournemouth defender. Kirk, as was popular a few weeks ago.
Do you not think they look a lot better without him? I hate to say something controversial about an asset that you like, Evan Nelson, but I think he was a bit number nine static. I think with Clive there, they look so dynamic in that front three.
I think they can change. The thing is, without him, they can change up the way that they play a little bit more. And maybe in the polar opposite way that Spurs can't without Solanke there. Like, we try and put other people in that position and it really just doesn't work. Whereas with Bournemouth, they have the opportunity to play. Clive works there well. Semenyo can work there well as well. God, there was a lot of wells in that sentence. But they have options that they can move in and out. And that fluidity is actually really difficult to play against, because you never really know at any moment which of those players is going to be popping up in that nine.
Utara's movement is really nice.
But the whole team has got lovely movement. They move the ball around really nicely. They're really fluid in what they're doing. And they make space for each other. And if one of them's gone into the central spot... Like, there were moments in that game where it wasn't Clivert that was in the number nine. It was almost Semenyo in a false nine, and Clivert had dropped a little bit. And it was nice, because the Forest defenders, who have been so solid all season, just didn't really know what to do with them, because they were kind of... No one was really where you'd necessarily expect them to be, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
And so from a Bournemouth perspective, I look at them and I'm like, okay, it's Liverpool up next. So I'm not in a hurry to invest ahead of the Liverpool game. I know that Clivert went up on Saturday evening. I've got money in the bank, so I could afford to take that. And he probably will go up again this week. I suspect we'll have two risers out of him after...
I think probably
not only
will,
this
you
week,
know.
But last week as well, obviously. So, but they're definitely a team I'm looking at. So whether you want to go for Clivert, pay a bit more, have Semenyo, whether you want to double up with a defender, because there's plenty of opportunity to do that as well. I don't think I fancy the goalkeeper. I think I'd rather have one of the actual defenders than the goalie.
What are we saying about Utara, though? You've spoken there about Clivert and Semenyo. I think those are the kind of poster boys, aren't they? But Utara is a midfielder. He's 5 million and he's playing out of position and scoring hat-tricks. It feels like it's just a no-brainer, really. I know he's not got the pens in the same way that Clivert has. And Clivert's now creeping up to 5'7", 5'8". So I don't mind it. If you can't afford the extra 0.7, Utara's fine. No? I'm not feeling it.
So my issue with Utara, I was just bringing it up. Where is he there? So obviously he has a massive haul this week. But when you look at what he's been doing over the last few weeks, working backwards from last week, 4 points, 2 points, 3 points, 6 points, 3 points, 6 points, 2 points. Then there's a 12-pointer that's against Ipswich in 15. But before that, 1 point, 1 point, 1 point, 2 points, 3 points, 1 point. Like, we've not seen... Whereas with Clivert, with Semenyo, I kind of feel like you get a bit more consistency with them. Mm. Utara feels a bit more... And I guess maybe it doesn't matter so much because he's cheaper, like you say. But I do feel like I'm more likely to get a blank out of him than I am out of the other type.
Do you not think his role is totally different since Evan Nilsson's injury, though? So it's all right, you say going back 10 weeks, but it's only really been 3 or 4 weeks that he's playing in that nine.
Okay, but even looking at 3 or 4 weeks then, so 3, 4, 3, 2, 4, 12, 21. So it's only really this week. Mm. I don't think that taking one game in isolation and going, that's the Bournemouth asset I want. Whereas I think if you look at Clivert, I mean, even with Clivert, really, it's been three games that he's had that most of his points have come out of. Semenyo is the most consistent of them. I kind of feel like I'd be picking between the two rather than Altaro, but that's just me.
Okay, I think you're overlooking him, Altaro, a little bit. The one thing I will say, and I'll come back to Clivert in just a second, because...
He's got pens as well.
Yeah, completely. But I think Azzy is saying that I've missed a super chat from him, so I'm going to just scroll up. Did I miss a super chat from you, mate? I do apologise if I did. I did, yes, the Smiths, 1986. Sorry, Azzy. An active Bournemouth fan, an FPL player Bournemouth fan, had Cliver and Semenya already and sold in Brumo to fund an Utara triple captain. Does he have the lotto numbers? I mean, that's... yeah, I mean, if anything, that tells you how much the Bournemouth fans believe in this new system that Iraola's got going when Evan Nilsson's not playing. The one thing I will say is I do think Cliver is worth the extra. And the reason I think Cliver is worth the extra is because when I watched the, albeit limited, highlights on Match of the Day, what I saw was a player absolutely brimming with confidence. He is full of it right now. Look at the first goal. He picks it up, beats a player, and then, all right, I'm
off.
35 yards out, and I'm still going to pop it in the bottom corner. That, as soon as he scored that first goal, I was like, ooh, he is on it. He fancies himself here. And even in the Utara second goal, I think Utara messes that up a little bit, gets stuck under his feet, and he does super, super well to finish it. But if he doesn't get it stuck under his feet, Clivert's right, he just square ball to Clivert. And then Clivert gets two goals and an assist. And Utara gets just two. He also gets two goals and assist then. And we're having a bit more of a balanced conversation, maybe. I don't know. But I just thought, eye test wise, Clivert stood out to me massively. He's just in the best form of his life.
And he's more I just feel like Utara, it would be punty to go for him over Cliver and Semenya, because they've had more consistency so far. So, yes, cheaper, but I think the other two are worth more.
Yeah, Mark Nash is saying Forrest standing off Cliver for the first goal was ridiculous. Well, I agree and I don't agree, Mark, because, yeah, maybe they should have closed him down a bit quicker because of, you know, what he can do. But, you know, if you're not expecting Sells to get beaten from there, I don't think. You know, I mean,
Sells had it was his worst performance of the season so far. He just had a nightmare.
Yeah, well, it's Forrest's worst of the season, yeah, I think. Yeah, and let's move on to that then, because I think I could wax lyrical about Bournemouth all night. I thought they were fantastic, but with Liverpool up next, I think we'll be sitting here this time next week talking about which Brighton asset we're going to go. Bournemouth asset we're going to go with.
Brighton.
I'm obsessed with Brighton. Maybe do them in a minute. Forrest though, 5-0 smash in here.
Mm.
Neither of us has any Forest defenders, so we were quite happy to see this. We've both got Chris Wood. Does it give you any pause for thought for Chris Wood?
Not really. I think it's one of those, isn't it, where could I go down? Like, if I was going to replace Chris Wood with somebody, I'd be looking at, well, how do I go down? Where do I go to free up, like, take some money to put somewhere else, potentially? There isn't really anyone that I look down below and I think that they're a must have, because at the moment it's the players in the midfield, like the ones that you've just been talking about, plus maybe some others from other clubs. But
yeah,
there isn't really another forward that I'm looking at and thinking.
Well, many will be looking at Ndiaye for the double. We'll do him in a minute. But I mean, that could be a popular transfer this week.
Oh yeah, it could be. But
just saying.
Yeah. All right. I mean, if you want to do that, that's fine. I don't hate that. I don't hate the punt on an Everton player for the double.
It's Brighton at home next for Wood, isn't it? I mean, it's not. I wouldn't say it's an emergency sell by any stretch of the imagination.
No, I don't think so. And I just think that, you know, I kind of feel like we've all become accustomed suddenly to Forrest being like really, really good and Wood returning every single week. And actually having one week where he hasn't returned, for me, isn't cause for immediate selling.
No. Okay. Yeah. So no panic on Forrest given the fixtures, but that was some performance by Bournemouth.
Brighton
I have to
plays.
Tell you, some performance by Bournemouth, and I wonder whether there was a blueprint there that other teams that are coming up against Forrest can take into consideration, because Forrest have been very, very hard to beat this season, no doubt about it. But yeah, Bournemouth, good job. Really, really good job. A super chat from Wilco. Thank you, Wilco, for the super chat. Cody Gakpo is the boy. Lee, best get the chocolate after this super chat. I will, mate. Don't worry. 77 minus 4, so a net 73 for Wilco. Nice score, mate. Almost transferred in Utara. Just about to confirm in Chicken Dick. Well, you won't be alone there, mate. I don't think you'll be alone. There'll be plenty that will have potentially chickened out of a Bournemouth asset against Forest and then Liverpool next week. But bang on radar now, absolutely bang on radar. Let's do Liverpool. Let's do the double game week. Is then Liverpool 4, Forest won. And as Wilco says, Sam, Gakpo is indeed the boy. Two goals and assist in this game.
It wasn't Forest, darling. You're getting all your teams muddled up. Liverpool won. Liverpool 4. You said Forest won. Ipswich
did
won.
I?
You're all over the place tonight.
All over the place tonight.
Brighton, it's because you know you're in trouble for eating the chocolate, isn't it?
So yes, can't get my head thinking straight.
Ipswich goal, I can't tell you how annoyed I was.
Yeah.
Like these stupid consolation goals. And this is why, and I know that I ruffled a few feathers this week on a few platforms. People weren't very happy with me for that. Yeah, people weren't very happy with me because I kept saying I didn't think the Liverpool defensive double up was worth it. And I thought
I think I was the same, you know.
Yeah, and but... I kept, I do spend a lot of time watching Liverpool because of you. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but obviously because I live with you, if Liverpool are on, we watch it. And I just was like, I just don't feel like the Liverpool defensive double up is the way to go. I'm all aboard the triple up. I just think you have to double up on the attack. But people took great offence to this and were like, no, I think you should go for the double up in defence. And I was like, all right, well, just... Oh,
you should get on Twitter. People are really nice and calm on Twitter.
Why I don't go on Twitter, Lee. So I'm upset enough people to suggesting that it might be okay to go with the Everton attack on off the bench this week as well. That upset a lot of people as well. It's like, oh my God, okay, just be quiet. But my point...
Can't please all the people all the time, Sam, as we well
I don't
know.
Think I could please any of the people any of the time this week. But the the Liverpool goal, the Ipswich goal against Liverpool was really frustrating because obviously both Konate and Trent had picked up assists in this one.
Mm.
And I was looking at that thinking, all right, well, this isn't great from a Luis Diaz perspective, but from a Trent and Salah perspective, we're good. We're picking up nice points there. And then Greaves, just out of nowhere, scores. And it's like, oh, okay. That's going to cost Trent the clean sheet points. It's going to cost some bonus points. It's infuriating. And I kind of feel like I still haven't changed my stance on Liverpool. I still feel that going for the attack, the double up in attack is the way to go. I know that there'll be a lot of people out there. And I wonder if a lot of people were being argumentative with me last week because their easiest route to Liverpool is to do a goalkeeper change over to Alisson, or it's to pick up Konate.
Raya to Alisson was reasonably popular, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people
if you did that this week, you're gutted with the Raya, aren't you?
And a lot of people kind of spin narratives, don't they, to suit what fits their team. And like I get that because for some people, like if you're sitting here saying to me, like, Sam, I need to get a Liverpool defender as my double up because that's the only way I've got in. Fair enough. Fair enough. I'm not saying I like it, but fair enough. I'll give you some advice on which one. But I don't... My preference would always be to go with the attackers because Liverpool have this in them. Just to concede one.
Oh, yeah.
The win a game comfortably, but just lose the clean sheet at the last minute.
It's happened so many times this season. I mean, even the Spurs game, 5-1 up and we can see two really sloppy goals because we switch off. We go into cruise control. And in this game in particular, obviously we've got a busy schedule coming up. We've got to play... another Champions League game. Then we've got the first game
but
in the double
game
week.
You are qualified, so you would expect big rotation, right, in the Champions League?
Sure, but still, it has been a busy schedule and it will continue to be a busy schedule.
Yeah.
We are the busiest team in the league right now because we're in two cup competitions and the Champions League. What?
Two cup competitions in the Europa League.
All right, well, you're busy
you're
as well.
You're not the busiest. We're all busy. We're just rubbish.
Okay, Sam, we're all busy, but Liverpool are one of the... God, I feel like I'm on Twitter where I have to sort of, like, caveat everything. I can't say anything, like... You can't say anything in the extremes because Twitter trolls come along. Oh, that's a bit extreme. We are one of, you could argue, the busiest teams in the league. And what we saw in this game was actually Arne Slot using the squad, doing all the things that Postecoglou should have been doing earlier in the season, which is bringing on the Harvey Elliotts and the Endos and all those people towards the end of games.
He did do that at the beginning.
And what he did was, unfortunately, or what Liverpool did wrong was that, and I think I saw it in the chat, Ken said it, I think, yes, absolutely. Smallest player on the pitch, marking their biggest threat. Harvey Elliott picking up Jacob Greaves from a corner ain't going to end well. You do not need to be a rocket scientist. I will tell you that is not going to end well. But you're right. Liverpool have got this brain fart in them where if we're cruising, we go proper calm as you like, Van Dijk style, and we just let silly odd goals in. And to that end, that's why I don't think, and I put the best Liverpool triple up as the thumbnail on this video, that's why I agree with you. I think given the defensive brain farts that we can have, and the amount of chances we're creating. Like, we are creating so many good opportunities right now that I think you have to go into, if you haven't already, because there will be a lot of FPL managers, me included, that went for the treble up in attack. Well, Trent, Salah, and then a Gakpo or a Diaz.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mind Szoboszlai either. I'll talk about him in a minute. But one of those two, probably, alongside Trent and Salah, are the three to go from in the double for me.
I agree. I mean, I think the one caveat I will put on this is that going into the double, Bournemouth are playing incredibly well. I don't think you'll be able to have those moments where you give up opportunities like you do against Ipswich, because I don't think you'll be coasting against Bournemouth. I don't think you'll be 4-0 up and coasting and then give away a goal. I suspect that Bournemouth...
Do you not think we'll find space in behind, though? Because Bournemouth are full of beans at the minute. They will attack.
Yeah, I do think you'll... I think you'll score plenty of goals, but do I think you'll go 4 goals up and then concede? No, I think you're actually more likely to concede earlier on against Bournemouth because they are good in attack.
Yeah.
The Everton game, I find a bit more difficult to call because those derbies are always a bit... They're always a bit weird, aren't they? Everton have found some form, weirdly.
They'll make it a battle, right?
They will make it a battle. And they can't really attack, so they will just be all out defence. So it'll be interesting to see how that one pans out. But for me...
Do you think they'll be all out of defence at Goodison in the final derby stadium?
I mean, they've lost Calvert-Lewin, so they got, Ndiaye up top.
Well, no, Beto will play there, won't he?
Okay.
But you've got to look at what Moyes has done since he's been in there. Dyche ball was, yep, we'll all sit behind the ball. Whereas Moyes is like, well, we've got to go for this a little bit. And they are.
But I mean, so far...
I wouldn't call it gung-ho, but they're going more than under Dyche.
Yeah, but if you look at the game that they played last week against us, I didn't really see much of the game against Brighton. But the game against us last week, they were like that until they conceded and then they panicked. And that's the thing is, I think Liverpool will, once Liverpool score, I do think Everton will struggle. And I mean this in the nicest possible way. I think part of the reason that they didn't panic against Brighton is because Brighton didn't score.
Mm.
Whereas I just don't think you've got it in you not to score with the way you're playing right now. I think Liverpool's attack is so good, to creating so many opportunities, that I can't see anything but goals against Everton. Do I think there's two clean sheets in that double game week? No.
No, I think we'll get one at Goodison.
I think you'll get one at Goodison.
But I'm not sure about...
But I don't think you'll get one against Bournemouth, yeah. No. I agree.
I'm not sure. But either way, you guys are absolutely right. Trent could have hauled in this game. Absolutely could have hauled. Because he had one off the post as well, which was a half-decent shot. And also, the guy that gets the assist for the Greaves goal, he took the corner, and Enciso, I mean, never mind a red card, that's GBH on Endo. It's absolutely disgusting what
just
he's done
arrived,
there.
Yeah.
He's just come on the pitch and he's like kneed and elbowed him at the same time. It's disgusting. But anyway, the ref, as usual in a Liverpool game, just decided that was fine to be a yellow. So anyway, a good win for Liverpool. Still sit top of the league. I think we are unanimous in our... We would prefer to lean into the attack than maybe defence, with the exception of Trent. Talk to me about Dominic Szoboszlai. Give me your opinion on him, because he is the one that's breaking... forward and supporting Gakpo or Nunes or whoever it is, or Diaz or whoever's playing in that number nine position. He's breaking, and obviously Gravenberch and McAllister just sitting there mopping up. And I do think we're seeing that more against the kind of what I would call the harder to break down teams, the teams that sit in a little bit, like Ipswich coming to Anfield. Szoboszlai joins the attack at will. Now against Bournemouth, will he do that? I'm not as convinced. But against Everton, you think they're going to sit in. So you obviously think Szoboszlai is a reasonable option then coming up against Everton, whereas I think Everton might attack us a bit
more. I don't know that they'll sit in. I think that their best option, in terms of their players that they have available to them at the moment, probably trying to get a draw out of the Liverpool game is the right thing.
Mm.
Because I'm not convinced that they've got the attacking players to go out and try and beat Liverpool at their own game. Because I just think defensively they're not great either. So they will, if they go and attack too heavily, they're going to let you in behind. That's my fear from an Everton perspective. Mm. Would I go? I don't think I'd go Szoboszlai though.
No?
I just think that there's too much.
He's got a bit of a ceiling, in my opinion. I think you're unlikely to get a sort of brace out of Szoboszlai. I'd love to be wrong about that. But I feel like, and some really nice stats coming in the chat. I haven't checked them, but goal ratio, thank you for the stats. Jota's got a goal every 120 minutes. Gakpo a goal every 129, Salah 158, Diaz 161. So yeah, apart from Jota, who is of course injured, Gakpo scoring at the highest minutes per goal ratio right now.
Yeah, I'm not keen on Szoboszlai. I just think that it's a midfielder slot. I feel like there's better midfielders in his price point that even without the double game week. I just feel like he's going to be one of those players that if you bring him in for the double... And maybe this is fine, but it you'll be wanting to sell him again pretty much straight after, but you won't be able to because Liverpool come out of it to Wolves, I think, right, in 25. So then Wolves you'd be holding him for that one and then probably sell him after that. But for me, it's a choice between... If I was going clean slate right now, I'd have Gakpo as my third. But as somebody that's already invested in Luis Diaz, I'm not going to...
Whatever you've got, you stick.
I'm not going to spend two transfers fixing it because otherwise I'm minus four down already doing a swap that may or may not pay off. Like, Luis Diaz was incredibly unlucky last week not to get something and could easily get something across the double. So I'm just going to hold what I have and see where we land when we come out of the double game week.
All right, very good. The other team with a double then coming up in game week 24 is, of course, Everton. How surprised were you at them going to Brighton and getting a win? Because I have to say I was. And then I spoke to Az about this game, being a Brighton fan and a good friend of ours. And he was like, yep, not surprised. Bogey team for us. They're a nightmare whenever we play them. So he wasn't expecting a result out of this game. But I think I probably was. But you weren't?
No, I wasn't. I was expecting Everton to get something out of this one. I just feel like Brighton are... really inconsistent. Like, some weeks I watch them.
They are inconsistent. That's a good word, yeah. They are.
Yeah. No, like, doubt. Last week I watched them. Mitoma, Minta, great. The week before, I can't remember who they played, but I just remember being a bit like, like, and sometimes that's how I feel about Brighton. Like, I just never feel like I really, really want to invest because I never really know what I'm going to get from them.
Mm.
And I just had this view that Everton are in a point where they've just got a new manager. We do see some new manager bounce. We saw that against Spurs when they won that game. Going into this one, that I've given them some confidence. I think they would have looked at Brighton and their record against them in the past and gone, well, look, we've got a good record at the Amex. We could go down there. We can get something from the game. Moyes is... he's a good manager. We saw that at West Ham. He lifted a trophy with them.
19 points this week, Attaboy, saying would? In the live chat. Points. If you fancy playing the assistant manager chip for whatever reason.
Well, you couldn't have played it in 23.
Does it start in 24?
It starts in 24. But right. Had it been available last week, he would have got the table. And this is a prime example of why the table bonus blimmin' important.
Yes.
Because he gets a clean sheet, that's 2 points. He gets 2 points for the goal that they've scored, that's four. He gets 6 points for the win.
But then 10, isn't it?
And then you get the additional 10 because you...
10-pointer.
You know, and so...
And this can happen. We've seen it this season. It's unpredictable.
Yeah.
Stuff like this can happen.
And the thing is that actually when you look at the table as it stands right now, the difference between places in terms of points isn't huge. So you could easily come up against a team that are 5 places above you that actually aren't really 5 places above you better than you, if that makes sense.
Correct,
so I think that's the thing is, the table bonus is so important for the assistant managership. That's why I would not play it on slot. It's why, actually, I wouldn't play it on Moyes right now either. Because although you would get the table bonus against Liverpool, unless you're prepared to move it off Moyes after the double and onto somebody else, you won't get it again for any of the other matches that they would get.
Yeah.
So, but this is a prime example of why I think it's so important. Because had you played it... had you been able to play it for 22 and 23, you'd have been laughing. And then, obviously, going into the double, you'd have been able to pick up the table bonus again. So, okay.
Well, if you don't fancy Moyes for the assistant managership, then what about their players? And Ndiaye, you said before there a second ago, well, you're having a look at him. I'm personally not. I don't think the underlying stats are any good for him at all. He doesn't take enough shots, in my opinion. He is going to be on penalties now, you would think, without Calvert-Lewin there. And for anyone that bought in Calvert-Lewin earlier, it's just bang unlucky. It's just bang unlucky, right? I mean, you just can't stay fit, can he? And he did look pretty distraught when he came off. I don't know if we've seen any sort of real diagnosis yet as to how long he's going to be out, but pretty good chance that you're going to need to move him on reasonably quickly. And it could be that you just, you know, sideways move it to Ndiaye. If you fancy still the Everton attack, then maybe that's the way to go. But I thought you were going to be looking at Ndiaye, no?
No, I'm not looking at the Everton attack. I don't think they'll score enough goals. I think the problem... like, for me, I'd have to sell Chris Wood, and I prefer Chris Wood against Brighton than I would Ndiaye across the double game week. Like, I don't love the double game week for them. So obviously it's a Liverpool game. They've also got Leicester. It's like a relegation slog going on down there, which we're now part of as well, by the way. I don't fancy their attack. So the question for me is, do I go for an Everton defender? Like that, I think that's probably, if I was going to go there, where I would look.
Okay.
Going into this week, I had a notion of the fact, because I was a bit fed up with the double Arsenal defence, more on that later. I had thought, well, maybe I'll do Raya to Pickford for a couple of weeks, have that for the double game week, and then move on to a goalkeeper I actually want after the double. But I just don't know, you know. I kind of feel like Liverpool definitely going to score. There's no way I see Liverpool going to Goodison and not scoring. What do I think Leicester are going to do? I mean, that could easily be a clean sheet. They're poor. I'd basically be bringing in Pickford for that double game week and then selling Raya for his fixture against... It's Man City, isn't it, for them?
Yeah.
So it is possible to go, all right, well, I do Raya to Pickford this week, but I wouldn't long-term want to hold Jordan Pickford as my goalkeeper, and that's my issue.
What mentality do you think Everton take into these games, though? Because I think I just think the Leicester game, I think Moyes is going to be looking at that going, we can beat them, we've got to beat them, right? You know, they're down there with them now, and Leicester 3 points today, so they're going to be, they're even closer now to Everton. I think they're going to go for that, and I think they will score goals in that. The Liverpool game, bit different. I don't think you can throw caution to the wind against us in quite the same way that you will against Leicester. So I think he's probably likely to dig in a little bit more about that. I don't think they keep a clean sheet in either,
no,
to be honest.
But that's my point. So I'm like looking at it and I'm thinking, well, I could bring him in, but then there's a good chance that Pickford gets four.
Yeah.
Across the double.
Yeah.
And
I'm
then
not
is
inspired
it really
by it,
worth
really.
It if I've got to then use another transfer to do it? Could I go for a Mikalenko or somebody like that?
Nah, man, come on.
Maybe. But again, I kind of feel like, well, all right, well, who would I be selling in order to do that? Because I actually really like my defence at the moment. So I think I'm just going to go into it without an Everton player. If you've got a Raul Jimenez or a Liam Delap or a, I don't know, somebody really like cheap and ineffective in your third forward slot, then taking a punt on Ndiaye, fine. But I don't, if you've got a front three that's like, I don't know, Gakpo, Wood, Isak, then you're not doing that, are you?
No. The other thing about Ndiaye puts me off is that he did the seagull celebration.
Oh yeah, it's rude.
After his penalty. I mean, he's obviously a bell end, so I don't want him in my FPL team. He obviously is. I mean, who does that? It reminded me, who was that other bell end who played for Brighton and Everton? Morpie. He did that, didn't he? Did
oh,
the
yeah,
seagulls?
Well, he is an absolute.
And I clearly is a bit of a prick and don't like him. So there we go. Right, let's move on. What should we do next, Sam? Should we do your game or should we wait it? You want to do it?
Yeah, go on then.
Go on then. Spurs 1, Leicester 2. Familiar story, Sam?
I said to you, didn't I, when I got home, for those of you that have never been Spurs, before the game, they play this like video. They play it every week. Every home game. And it's like a rallying cry, right?
It's just like, we are the home of the Spurs.
And they play, these like video clips of like the past. And it's great. It's lovely. I really enjoy it. And one of the lines in it, it says, this is our home where we play without fear. Okay? So the crowd's up. Everyone's excited. Everyone's quite positive. They kick off. And I turn to the chap who sits next to me. And I'm like, why do we look terrified?
You said that when you come in, yeah. You look like full of fear.
And he's like, they look nervous. And I was like, I've never seen them look like this. Mm. Like, they looked terrified. And for about 40 minutes of the first half, they played with fear. They were genuinely, they played within themselves. And in the first half, it was kind of fine that was happening because Leicester were poor. So it was just like this first half where we were all right. Leicester were pretty poor.
I was going to say, how was the first 45? Obviously, this wasn't on TV in the UK, so I couldn't watch it.
We were terrified. And
But 1-0 at half-time.
But we
everything
were 1-0
going fine,
up.
No?
And so we went in at half-time and we were all like, okay, well, it weren't the best half of football in the world, but we're 1-0 up. We'll come out after half-time. Hopefully stick another goal in the back of the net and everyone will be fine. Because then, of course, they're shooting towards the south. So it's like, all right, we've got the going with the wind now, you know, towards the goal we like to score in. Fine.
Going with the wind.
I couldn't think of a better phrase. So the second half comes out. They come out. Richarlison apparently is feeling his groin at half time. says to
Postman, he's been rushed back.
Well, he's been back in training for a month before he came back in. So he hasn't been rushed back. He did a month of training.
Right.
So he comes back in and he's like, at halftime, he says, my groin's a bit funny. I want to give it 10 minutes, see if I can run it off. Clearly couldn't run it off. Within 10 minutes, they've scored twice. The first goal is just a cock-up. The second goal, they're all just like... And when the second goal goes in, I'm looking for a leader.
That's the problem, though, isn't it?
I'm looking at
them.
That's
the problem.
And I'm sat there, and Leicester are celebrating at the other end, and my lot are back in formation, waiting to kick off, and nobody's saying anything. Nobody's like, there's no like, if Madison's on the pitch, if like he's like, for all of Madison's issues, he's like, he'd have been there, like, come on, like, yeah. G'ing him up. Romero would have been doing the same. There'd have been a bit of
Son is a captain, though. What's he doing?
Son doesn't know. He stood there. He just stood there. The only player that did it... So Ben Davis then decided, I've had enough of this. So he starts, like, rallying them, because he's the eldest, I suppose, and, you know, the one that's been there most.
Wouldn't
and
put then, him down as a leader, though, would
no,
you,
he's
Ben
not.
Davis?
And then next to him, Archie Gray decides to have a bit of a, like, rally cry. He's trying to rally them. And I'm like, why are we relying on our 18-year-old kids to get this team up? And then for the rest of the half, we were, like, half asleep. And then for the last, I don't know, 8 minutes of the game or so... To be fair, Leicester were doing every trick in the books. They were over every 5 minutes. The trainer
of course,
came
though,
on.
Of course.
It's all that old stuff.
Of course.
You know, the goalie's holding it for 20 hours. It is what it is, right? They're going to do... People getting frustrated by it. It's like, well, you'd be doing the same if you were.
Of course,
were.
Yeah.
If our team was in that position, we'd be doing exactly the same. So you can't really move.
They're desperate for points, Leicester. 100%.
They
need to do it.
Of course they are. If they weren't doing it and I was a Leicester fan, I'd be furious that they're not doing it. So, you know, it is what it is. We had a few moments late on. So Porro had a free kick off the woodwork, which we were right behind. In fact, I took a video of it. I thought it was in. We had another one came off the woodwork. We had another big miss towards the back end of the game. Like, we probably should have got a draw out of it, but we didn't deserve it. So where are we now? Because the problem is that I looked over at the bench. So when he's taking Richarlison off, he takes Richarlison off and puts Mikey Moore on. I like Mikey Moore. But he's not a number nine. So, okay, we've got Lankshear on the bench. So if you're gonna take your number nine off, why not put Lankshear on instead? Because at least he's... But anyway. And then he takes off... who else did he take off? He took off somebody else and he put on Reguilón, who was actually all right again. Down that side, he was making some runs and he was being a bit, you know, forthcoming. But the problem is, we go into today and the team sheet pops up and there's no Jed Spence and there's no Madison because they're injured as well now. And it's like,
so what? So Ken's has asked in a super chat, does Ange last until Anfield? Is he to blame? Is Levy to blame?
So
is it your Dutch sporting director whose name I've forgotten? Is he to blame?
So I think there's a number of things here.
Danish, I think.
One thing I will say is, and I know people want me to sit here and go, it's Ange's fault. It's not. It's not Ange's fault.
Bigger problem.
Like, it's not Ange's fault. We have had 16 managers in 24 years. 16 managers in 24 years is ridiculous. The problem is far bigger than Ange Postecoglou. The man has come in. I honestly think if we had a fully fit team, we are in a better place now than where we were when Ange took over.
And Duncan makes a good point in the chat. He says, if Ange does go, who comes in? Who would want that job right now? That's the challenge.
It's not just who would want it, Duncan. It's nobody can do a better job because there's no team. You're basically dealing with a skeleton team and a load of injured players that they're trying to rehab back into fitness. Fine. Nobody can come in. I will not have it. There's not, and I don't believe that there's any genuine Spurs fans out there that are saying it's Ange Postecoglou's fault. The whole crowd today, there's a massive banner in the South Stand with Levy out. The whole crowd is singing they want Levy out. We need a change of leadership at the top. We won't get that.
I was going to say, it's his club. You're not getting it, are you? He's not selling.
Well, it's not his club. He's employed by Enoch, isn't he? So, but we won't get a change of leadership at the top. The one thing I'll say about Daniel Levy, and this is off topic because it's not really relevant to FPL, because in reality you're not going for any Leicester or Spurs, so we can move on quickly after this. But he has built the club is an incredible business. If you look at what he's done in the last 24 years, he has built a fantastic business because Daniel Levy is a brilliant businessman, but he is not a brilliant football club person because he doesn't have football at his heart. And that's the issue, is that this team... it has got some great players in it. Most of them are injured right now. And Postecoglou is doing a bloody brilliant job with what he has available to him. He has not got a sporting director who knows what he is doing. The man had a failed record when he arrived, and he continues to have a failed record now. He, in my opinion, is part of the problem, and he needs to go. And we need to back him. We've got 6 days left in the transfer window, and at no point has that man been backed. And so, for me, if they sack Postecoglou, they are just trying to paper over the cracks again, and it'll be 17 managers in 24 years, and nothing will have changed. And so, what has been the point? There you go, end of run.
All right. Okay. I will not give an opinion, because I never do. I don't entirely agree with everything you've said, and I think he will be the fall guy. Whether you think that he's the problem or not, he will be the guy that gets the boot, because it won't be Levy, right? It won't be Levy. And again, you guys are talking in the chat about get Iriola in, get this in, get that in.
Won't make a difference.
Who are those guys we're going to want to go to Spurs right now? No.
Look, if you could get Iriola, if you could get Pep, if you could get the world's best manager, it would not make a difference right now.
Yeah, all right. Fair enough. Fair enough. All right, so let's move on to Brentford then. And the reason I want to move on to Brentford is because not only did they get a very good result earlier on today, but they are Spurs' next opponents. And if I look ahead to the next few fixtures for Brentford, apart from the two that have got the double game week, of course, Everton and Liverpool are top of the ticket because of double game week 24. But the next team on the ticker is Brentford. Spurs at home in 24, which, as we've just discussed, looks all right. And then West Ham, Leicester, Everton, Villa and Bournemouth after that. Is it time, Sam, for another dance with Mr. Brian Embremo? What are we saying?
Do you regret not dancing with him for longer before?
Well, no, because I think in the time that I've not had him, I've had Gordon, and Gordon's done quite well. I think they've probably matched each other. So I don't, although he did it, when we did have a haul that I missed out on a couple of weeks ago, didn't he? So maybe there is a bit of regret there. But even when I sold him those few weeks ago, and we had this whole conversation here where George was in, wasn't he, about me, you know, last dance with Bremo and stuff, I did say at the time, I will be back for you, Brian. I will be back. I think that time has come. I think that time has come. The thing that's stopping me going straight back to Embuemo is the fact that I can't do the transfer that I would like to do. I'd like to do Enzo out to Brian Embuemo.
Oh, you need quite a bit for that.
But you need a bit of money for that. And I've already used that money doing João Pedro to Gakpo this week, which obviously I've got no regrets about. So I haven't got the money in the bank. So the transfer or the sacrificial lamb that would have to make way probably is Gordon. I'd have to do Gordon to Embuemo. Which I'm not against, but then Gordon's got Fulham at home this week. The fixtures for Newcastle after that, though, let's have a look at them. Newcastle's fixtures, Fulham at home in 24, then Man City away, Forest and Liverpool, before then West Ham in 28. So that's why I think Gordon could be my make weight for Brian Embuemo if I want to go back to Brian Embuemo. But I don't know if I want to do it this week. Fulham at home. But then Embuemo's got Spurs at home. It's Brian. Let's do Brian first. Back on your radar? Fancy a dance with him, or what are you thinking?
Yeah. Sure. I would have to probably sell Luis Diaz to make that work.
Yeah, and you're not doing that this week, are you?
Well, clearly not. And I'm not doing that ahead of Wolves either. Unless he's like, I don't know. Unless he has an absolute stinker across the double game week. I'm unlikely to do that in 25 either. Because my other midfielder options, so one of them's Alanga, who I would be happy to part with. I only really brought him in for last week, just for a bit of fun. He's been on the bench this week. But again, a bit like you with your Enzo pick, I can't really go Alanga to Embuemo. That's too expensive.
Just an interesting stat, just to cut across you. Alanga, top for chances created this week?
Yeah, yeah.
In a 5-0 defeat?
Yeah.
Bit unlucky?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I kind of... Alanga was a pick for the Southampton game, to be honest, and then he wasn't really supposed to be a stay around forever. The move I probably will make is to go Alanga to a Bournemouth player. I'll probably go Alanga to Cliver, Alanga to...
That's your Bournemouth slot, isn't it?
Alanga
to... Yeah, feels it.
That's probably my Bournemouth play.
You haven't got Gordon, have you? No, Diaz is your man, isn't it? Yeah, Diaz is your man.
So, so, and I've got... I don't want to change my attackers. Although, Mateta blank this week, I don't want to get rid of him. I find it quite hard to get back to Embuemo. Not not in terms of like finding a place for him. I know what the route to him is, but I'm clearly not doing anything about Luis Diaz right now. So yes, I fancy him, but I'm probably going to wait at least a week before I do it.
Yeah, a bit of differing narrative in the chat. Let's say Brandon is saying Mbeumo is so consistent. He is, no doubt about it. Torben Nielsen, thank you, Torben. Vissa looked better than Mbeumo today. Yeah, I've got to look at the extended highlights of that game because I was out watching London Colney Youth Tigers rather than Brentford versus Crystal Palace today. Monkey D is saying I wouldn't sell Elanga. He's a great option for the blank in 29. You don't, and that is an absolutely fair point, right? There will be teams that blank in game week 29. And we know who those teams might be. It's those that will be playing the teams that are in the Carabao Cup final. And at the moment, that looks as if it's going to be Newcastle and Spurs because they're winning. But it could be Arsenal and Liverpool in there too. And the teams that play those teams are also at risk of blanking in 29.
Yes, it's Fulham and Palace.
Yeah.
Palace will play Fulham is up. I forget who the other
Ones are. What I was going to say was the teams that are not in those brackets are the teams that we want to focus on, I would say, right now. I mean, obviously, we've got to wait to see what the Carabao Cup semi-finals throw up. But right now, we do know some of the teams that that definitely will play in game week 29. And yeah, Elanga is one of them, I think. So.
Oh, yeah. So if you make it, it'll be Villa.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I think for me, the Elanga thing, yeah, absolutely. And it is a great fixture because he has got Ipswich that week. But equally, if I swap him for a Bournemouth player, he'll have Brentford and the way that Bournemouth are playing. Like, I'm not going to hold. I think that could be one of those where you just hot, like, you have to be really wary of this, don't you? Of just holding a player because, oh, he's going to be all right for 29. And then missing out on
some stuff.
Loads of points from other players from other teams, who's also, by the way, still going to play in game week 29. So I think, yeah, it's just something to consider.
Yeah, good game, though, this. The bits that I saw. Mbeumo, and you guys are saying it in the chat, right? He was a bit wide. He's hugging the touchline. Yet he still gets the points.
But,
you know,
but a bit jammy.
Yeah, but he still gets the points.
He missed
do you know
the penalty,
I mean? Like,
and then it got retouched. I mean, I haven't seen any of it because obviously I was at Spurs.
He did miss the penalty, and Gaye, I think, was in the D when he's encroaching basically. So Mbeumo gets another chance at it. One of my favourite moments of the Premier League so far this season, and you have to see it if you haven't already, and it'll be all over social media and definitely Match of the Day tonight.
I'm not watching that.
Fair comment. As Mbeumo is stepping up to take the second of his penalties,
right?
Johan Vissa runs like this is sorry, podcaster, this is bad, but if the sort of keeper's there and Mbeumo's there taking the penalty,
yeah.
Vissa runs like here, celebrating the goal already. And if I'm Henderson, I'm surely put off by that. Do you know what I mean? He runs, you've got to see the video. Vissa's like runs off celebrating, and Mbeumo hasn't taken the penalty yet. And then, of course, he scores and they all celebrate together.
No way this happens.
But yeah, Vissers does like he just does a little celebration before the second penalty is taken. Like miles before. And as he's starting to run up, he's just starting to finish his celebration. If I'm Henderson, am I not looking at that and getting put off? I think it's top level shithousery from Vissa. Oh, it's elite level shithousery.
What? But they don't make him take it again.
Huh?
They don't make him take it again because Vissa's been distracted.
Well, what's he doing that's wrong?
Distracting.
No, come on. Refs not even looking for a start. And the second thing is VAR. Go over to the monitor because Vissa was celebrating over there. No, it's not. No, he's not doing anything wrong. He's fine.
I have to go and find this later.
He's not celebrating and encroaching. He just runs straight across the line where Henderson must be looking.
What, behind the players along the...
Yes.
Oh, I see. He's not running. In my head, I thought you meant he was like... running towards the goal down that line.
Imagine there's a player somewhere between the edge of the box and the halfway line, but closer to the edge of the box. And all the players are standing on the edge of the box waiting to go in, except Mark Gahey, who's sort of holding back because he's just been done for encroachment. And about 10 yards back from that, imagine Vissa holding a sign saying, Hendo, hello. Like, and he's just like there, just like cheering.
This happens. Oh,
it's unreal. It is absolutely top level shithousery from Vissa. I'm so here for it. It was brilliant. And then, of course, Mbeumo sticks it away. Sharda scores an excellent header. And then, yeah, Palace make it a difficult last few minutes with Essie, I think is how you pronounce this guy's name. Not Eze. Eze?
Didn't the movement start from Eze, though? It was because I heard yes, loads of narrative confusing. That was from Eze to Eze or something.
Very confusing, but it's Munoz, actually, that gets the assist. Yes. I'm glad I benched him this week. So, yeah, what are we saying about Palace and Brentford assets? We've spoken about Brentford there and their fixtures, but Palace's fixtures still continue to look good. Old Trafford next, and then Everton, Fulham, Villa, Ipswich and Newcastle. It's still all right for Palace. And you've got Mateta, nothing for him today, but no panic, right?
No panic.
He will give Maguire and Martinez a nice game up at Old Trafford, won't he?
I hope so.
He should do.
Yeah. Otherwise, he'd be in my naughty list.
Might you struggle to play him next week? Who are your other forwards?
Why?
Well, it's double game week. I'm just thinking. You've got some good fixtures coming up. Who else has you got? Isak? You're going to play him, right?
I don't think I've got...
All right. I thought you'd know, but we'll talk about your team in a bit.
I can't remember thinking I've got to bench him.
No.
No, I'm playing him. Right. Yeah. No, I haven't got any problems.
Who are you benching?
Timber out of front again. Eight. Oh, Alanga.
Oh, right. Okay, fair enough. Okay. What else, Sam? What else? Let's rattle through the rest of these. So Wolves 0, Arsenal 1. Not the greatest game of the world, but Calafiori popped up just when he needed to. This was a tale of the red cards, though, wasn't it? What do you think of Miles Lewis-Skelly red card? Is that a red? It's Arsenal, and I know you hate him because he was G'ing up the crowd in the North London derby.
I hate
but
him so much. I think he's a petulant child, so... I mean, look, it's probably not a red card, but I just think he's a petulant child and it's probably a good life lesson. But there you are.
I think he's been absolutely unreal and he's been very, very good since he's come into the team, and that is not a red, in my opinion. It's a Stonewall yellow. It's a Stonewall yellow, and if you want to come at me with an argument for an orange card, I'll be here for it, but it's not a red.
An orange card.
It's not a red. I'm not having that.
Going back there.
And then Wolves, then, are still in trouble. Not going to say too much about them. In fact, I don't even talk about Wolves. Let's finish up on the Arsenal defence, though.
So I've got fully trolled by Arteta this week.
Have you?
Yeah, because him saying Saliba's out till Man City meant I didn't play the Arsenal double up, because the clean sheet stats go in the mud when Gabriel or Saliba's not there. So I benched Timber because I was like, well, I'll just play Raya then, because Cunha's probably going to go and score, and... because they don't keep clean sheets when one of them's not there. And then when the team sheet came out and Saliba's name was on it, I was like, you're taking the mick.
Mm.
And so I benched a clean sheet. I mean, he did also get booked, so it was only five. Points, though, so it's not the end of the world. But it's really damn annoying.
Yeah, I don't think many of us have got Wolves assets anymore. I don't think so. Cunha had one that whistled past the post. Raya's watching it. He's not getting to it. So he's a bit unlucky there. Sarabi, I think, had a big chance. He racked up 0.5 XG. He's second for XG underachievers this week, Pablo Sarabia, with that minus 0.5. So, yeah, maybe on another day, Wolves get something. But Arsenal's defence, hold on. And if you did the Raya to either Pickford or Alisson move this week ahead of the double game week.
For Pickford.
Maybe did all right for Pickford, but if you did the Alisson move, that's a bitter pill to swallow, that, because I think Raya picked up at least two bonus points, didn't he? Or maybe even three.
No, two. I think Saliba got the three, didn't he?
Saliba with the three, yeah, there we go.
For epic trolling perspective. Oh, for God's sake. Can't even speak anymore.
Man City 3, Chelsea 1. Any thoughts?
I was a bit surprised.
A bit surprised about what?
I was expecting Chelsea to be a bit more potent in their attack. I thought that they might be, because the way that Chelsea have
Nicholas Jackson up front. Since when has he ever been potent?
No, I understand that. But the way that Chelsea, although haven't been converting them, have been creating a lot of chances in recent weeks. And then Jackson's been wasteful, and we all know that narrative.
Third for XG underachievers this week, Mr. Nicholas Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, it's 0.38. I mean, it's literally constant. If you've got Nico Jackson, I don't know even how you're dealing with it, because it must be so infuriating. however, I was expecting them to exploit City's weaknesses more. And I think probably they could have done it more in the first half than they did. Obviously, they get the goal at the beginning, which highlights the way that Man City can have weaknesses in their team. It's unfair on the kid for it.
I felt sorry for him, to be honest with you.
Look, he's come in. He's doing a job. They got no centre-backs. It's a nightmare. Everything's gone wrong. But the one thing I will say is that now that's what... It's Haaland again, it's Foden again. We're starting to get a little bit of consistency back from them. The fixtures remain dreadful for Man City. They remain awful.
Do you not think they've found a bit of form, though?
I do think they've found form. Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely do. But my issue is that Liverpool have got a double game week. All my money is invested there.
Mm.
I'm looking, like, could I get to Foden? Yes, if I sell Luis Diaz.
He only looked good, Foden, when he come back in the middle, though.
Agreed.
And totally. I want to talk about Mamouche in a minute.
I totally agree with you. However, I think it's too early to go Mamouche because that would involve giving up one of the forwards I like. Like, I'm not going to sell Mateta or Woods to go there.
Mm.
I don't want to go...
Is he a forward, Mamouche, or is he a midfielder?
I think he's gone in as a forward.
Has he? Okay.
Yeah. 7 million, right? 7 million forward.
I think he's seven, yeah. I didn't know if he's a midfielder or forward, no, but yeah, okay.
I'm sure he's a forward.
I believe you. I believe you.
And I think... Like, so for me, I'm looking at that Man City team with the fixtures in conjunction, and I'm not saying they can't score in those games because they absolutely can, but would I expect them to haul in those games? Probably not.
Mm.
And at the moment, with the money I've got invested in the likes of Trent and Luis Diaz, I would struggle to find a way to bring in a Man City player, either for financial reasons with the midfielders, with the likes of KDB and Foden, without selling a Liverpool asset, which obviously I'm not doing ahead of the double and then Wolves. And with Mamouche, I'm not prepared to give up one of the three forwards that I've got that I like to have him.
Fair play. Yeah, fair play. I think it was a tale of the two new boys, really, because Kushanov, Kushanov, I think it's how you say his name.
Don't ask me about pronunciation.
He chucked him and Mamouche straight in, didn't he? And they've literally been at the club like days.
It's no choice, yeah,
right?
Yeah. With the
maybe.
Defender anyway.
Yeah, maybe. But he come in and the header, which he missed for the Jackson assist to Medueke is... Yes, I did feel for him because he looked... And then he got booked shortly after that for a foul on Palmer when Palmer was arguably through. I think there's cover there, so it's not a red, but it's... On another day, that's a bit closer to a red
it's
than...
It's a bit closer, yeah.
It's a bit... I did feel for him, and I thought, his head's gone. He's 5 or 6 minutes into his debut. They're 1-0 down. He's on a booking. His head's gone. And to be fair to him and to the players around him, they rallied and they settled and they were better. My argument, though, is why did Chelsea not go for the jugular then, right? Chelsea have got this thing in them at the moment, and Chelsea fans, tell me if you agree or not, is that, like, 1-0 up, Madueke, okay, good. You've got the young centre-half who's been in the country like 24 hours on a yellow.
Yeah.
Target him, man.
Yeah.
Come on, go for it, Chelsea. Get the second goal, get the third goal. And instead, Chelsea, and they've done this a lot recently, I think. It's a bit anecdotal. I've not got a lot of evidence for it other than just me watching them recently. Is they kind of get a bit complacent. They kind of go one up and they just sort of like sit and just wait for the other team to come on. They try and hit them on the break. And they can do that, of course. But... they get a little bit like calm, a bit Liverpool about it. But we do it when we're 4-0 up, not 1-0. And I just thought, I thought that game was there for Chelsea.
Mm.
I thought in the first half an hour, that
second
game was there
half,
for Chelsea.
City were better though. And I think,
yeah, because they were allowed to be by Chelsea. That game could have been out of sight by half an hour.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely, you're right. I think, it's difficult, isn't it? Because for me, I only have Palmer across this game.
Another blank for him.
Another blank for
him. What are we saying?
Well, yeah, but you say another blank for him, but he's still got three double-digit hauls in six. Like, it's not like he's been, terrible.
And Chelsea fixtures like going? Let's have a look at this Chelsea fixtures. West Ham at home up next, so you ain't changing him ahead of that. Brighton away, Villa away, Southampton and Leicester at home on the horizon. Bloody hell, you can't sell Palmer, can you?
No. But also, I wouldn't get a Chelsea defender. Like, Sanchez just has an absolute nightmare. Again,
oh,
for the Haaland goal.
I'll tell you what, that is so bad, isn't it?
It's terrible.
It's so bad.
I'm watching that game and I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing, Sanchez? You have been a Premier League defender now, a goalkeeper now, for a long time at Brighton, now with Chelsea. That is dreadful. Like, that is, like, if one of the new defenders comes in and does that, all right, you know, you've got to get up to pace with the league, and that's kind of how I feel about the Man City new defender. But that is just ridiculous from Sanchez. Now, the manager's come out and said he still has all faith in him and blah, blah, blah. I mean, they've got about...
He's got to say that.
He doesn't. He's got 800 goalkeepers.
Nah, Sam, come on. Goalkeepers play off confidence. He's not going to come out and criticise him, is he?
He could. He's got 800 others. They've got so many goalkeepers. He could play Jurgensen or whatever his name is. I mean, I think Sanchez is probably still better, but it's so bad from him. And he had just basically allowed Haaland to make a mockery of him. It was embarrassing.
That indecision, I hate to see that from keepers. You just come or don't. Do you know what I mean?
Don't
just come and then just stay there. And then Haaland's just like, yep, see you later.
Yeah.
All right. Just my thoughts on Mamouche. I thought he was electric, Mamouche.
But he's good. Only Harry Kane scored more in the Bundesliga than he has this season.
Yeah, but it's a different game in the Premier League. But the way that he was central...
He's the next Egyptian king, apparently.
Yeah, good luck, mate.
He probably is.
He looked good, like he had a good debut, do you know what I mean? But stop. Can we stop this comparison to Salah? Like, one of the greatest players who've ever lived? Please.
Somebody's
not done anything yet. 20 goals in the Bundesliga. Come on, give over. Anyway, so he looked all right on his debut. And I think we'll be talking about him in FPL circles once the City fixtures come up. Because the way that he was buzzing around Haaland, the way that he was getting involved, he put himself about a bit. He's not afraid to shirk a tackle. He's not afraid to make a diagonal run. I liked him a lot. He looked good.
I think the one thing I'll say about him, and again, it's going to be a watch and wait, is because we had Alvarez in this price point for a long time.
We did.
And for many seasons, Alvarez wasn't great from an FPL perspective. And then a couple of seasons ago, he was brilliant for us. So I think with Mamouche, it's also going to depend on how many minutes he gets, what position he's given. If he plays like he did against Chelsea every week, he'll be an option.
Yeah, I think you're right. Anything else to discuss, Sam? Or should we move on to teams?
I think we've had enough.
Have we had enough?
I'm very cold. I need another cup of tea. I want to eat my bar of chocolate that's in the fridge waiting for me.
It's not there.
Oh, you've eaten it.
It's not there. I do just want to give Isak a shout out because, again, just continues to do well, doesn't he? Two goals. The best goal of the afternoon, though, was Tonali's. You see that goal?
Yeah.
That's like prime Barcelona from Newcastle. Unbelievable goal, that. I love that goal from Tonali. So, and I like the Gordon assist even better for him being in my team. So Newcastle assets, given that they have a nice fixture, I think, coming up next. Isn't it Fulham at home next? We discussed this earlier, didn't we?
Disappointed in Lewis Hall, though.
Fulham at home next for Newcastle. Then it's Man City, Forest and Liverpool. Will we be potentially selling them in game week 25, Newcastle assets, particularly if they get into the Carabao Cup final and blank in 29? They're probably, with the exception of Isak, the Halls and the Gordons are probably targets for transfers out, aren't they, in the next few weeks?
Yeah. I think, given that by game week 25's transfer, we will know which four teams blank in 29.
Yeah.
I'm expecting Newcastle to be one of those. I don't want to make a move for Lewis Hall out yet.
No.
Wait 1 week. But also that means that if Crystal Palace don't blank, then I can see me going Hall to Munoz.
All right. Okay. And as Papalotopoulos is saying...
What a name. That is brilliant, by the way.
Newcastle to Bournemouth in 25, locked in. I think that is going to be...
Oh, yeah.
Papa. That is going to be... Because I'm not going to say your full name again, because I think I tripped over it before. That is going to be a popular strategy, a very popular strategy. Sam, how did your team get on this week? Let's have a look. 56 points. I did this at half time.
No, I think I got 57
in the Manchester United game. I'm just about to explain to you why I've put 56 here and not 57, if you'd let me explain. And the reason I did that is because Robinson did indeed get two in the Manchester United game, but I did this slide at half time. So yes, you are right, before you interrupt me. 57 you got this week. So 1,419 points, but your overall rank is probably about that, right?
Probably give or take. I haven't looked, to be honest. Yeah, it was bang average. I benched Timber, as I mentioned before, because I thought Saliba wasn't going to play. I think I would have done it differently. Honestly, had I known that Saliba was fit and available, I absolutely would have done that differently.
Who would you have benched?
I'd have benched Robinson.
Okay.
Because I was
telling me how great he was all day today and throughout the week. You were.
Robinson.
Yeah.
He is great. I love him. He is great. I love him. But had I known that Arsenal were going to have their full strength defence against Wolves, there's no way that I would have done that. So it is annoying, but it is what it is. Rodgers, it sounds like, probably could have had an assist today, but then got the goal, was ruled out, which was, you know, whatever. I haven't seen it. I don't know. It was a really meh week, and it's really frustrating because I really liked my team for this week. I hate that. You know, when you look at some weeks, you look at your team and you think, this is dreadful. We're going to have a shocker of a week. And then they're brilliant. And then the other weeks, you look at them and you're like, I love my team for this week. And then they're really bang average. A bit annoying.
Nothing for Mateta's a bit of a shame, isn't it? Because I was bigging him up last week as well, talking about how great I think he is for next week. And I do think he will be good for the next few weeks. But yeah. He was one of your kind of, you know, outside of your Palmer, Salah, Isak, Rodgers template there, Trent, Hall, everyone's got them, right? So not many have got the Matetas. He's the one you want to come in, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. But and he didn't, which is a shame. And Luis Diaz not getting anything in a 4-1 victory is also disappointing. Trent losing his clean sheet is disappointing. I'm still annoyed about Robinson not getting a clean sheet. Man United fans, it's not a dig at you, but that is the world's luckiest goal I've ever seen in my life.
Well, Nikolai in the chat is saying Fulham only conceded 0.25 XG today. Yeah. So, yeah, there you go. And it was a jammy goal.
It was jammy, no doubt. It was unlucky. So, again, it's one of those weeks. You have them sometimes. It's not a terrible red, so we just take it. We move in. I am worried about next week, though, because next week I don't have my triple captain. There will be a lot of triple captains on Salah. I'm not playing the assistant manager chip. My bench isn't at a point where I want a bench boost, so I will be going into it with no chip.
No chip, yeah.
And so that kind of inevitably feels like it will be a red. So it's just how...
And there will be a lot of assistant manager chips played next week. The casual community will look at it and just go, oh, what's this? Click and just play it.
There will, yeah, there will be a lot. And obviously a lot of managers that still have their triple captainship will play it on Salah. So
absolutely,
for me, next week feels like it might be difficult. We just have to ride it through and see where we land by the time we go into game week 25.
If you did have the triple captainship, hypothetically, would you play it on Salah next week?
Yeah.
Would you?
Yeah.
Two very difficult games.
They are very difficult games. I think, honestly, if you look at where else would you put it towards the back end of the season when you've got to find 3 weeks for the assistant manager chips, a week for the bench boost, a week for your wild card, a week for your free hit. Suddenly that's 5 game weeks of stuff.
I don't disagree.
Or 6 game weeks of stuff. So it's hard to then find a 7th game week where it's going to fit. So when you've got a double game week for a club like Liverpool, he is one of the, if not the... most reliable asset we've ever had, or at least in the last few years we've had in FPL. I just think if you've got it, you play it.
And I do think with, as we said before, with the Brentford, you know, what is bloody wrong with me tonight?
It's all the bees you're confused about.
Confused.
Brentford, with, Brighton, Bournemouth, who are you talking about?
With the Bournemouth style, the way they press, I think it will give us space in behind. I think I think Salah will get some joy. It's also a massive game, right? We've got to go into that game and one of our hardest away games left and over the course of the season. I then think with the Everton game, if they do sit in a little bit more and we do kind of pin them back in, I do expect it to be a physical game. Could we see a penalty in there? We absolutely could, I think. So I don't mind it. If you've got the triple captain chip left...
Would you not play it then?
I think if you'd have asked me a few weeks ago, I'd have said absolutely yes. I think given Bournemouth's uptick in form, given Everton's uptick in form... which only has been in the last sort of 3 or 4 weeks, right? Bournemouth have been playing better for much longer than that. But over the last 2 or 3 weeks, they've been phenomenal. Whereas Everton have been absolute guff. And then since Moyes has come in, the Moyesire, they've done pretty well over the last sort of 3 or 4 weeks. So all of a sudden, versus a month ago, when many that still got the triple captainship would have been like, absolutely game week 24 on Salah. No question. I think there's a conversation now. I personally would. If I had it left, and I don't, but if I had it, given what we know about the rest of the season, how that's going to play out and the other chips that we've got left, assuming you've got all your other chips, I personally would. But if you've got pause for thought and you're having a bit of an internal conversation about it now because of the upturn in form of the other two teams, I think there's some thought to be had now. Yes, there's some thought to be had. It's not a no-brainer. A month ago, it was a no-brainer.
Okay.
Now it's not.
Yeah. Okay.
Now it's not.
That's fair enough.
Would you triple captain a different Liverpool player?
No.
You'd only go for Mo?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. I think so too. So 56, 743K, 57. Thoughts of transfers ahead of next week? What are we saying?
Might do nothing.
Oh, okay.
I'm just at a point where I feel like I actually need 2 transfers. You know, sometimes you like the last few weeks I've looked at my teams and I've gone, great, everything's great. And then someone's gone and got broken their foot. Done their knee in. Like, genuinely, it's been like 4 or 5 weeks.
You're not being at Spurs.
It is actually. I basically am Ange Postecoglou. Everyone's getting injured. And so because of that, I've had to constantly fight fires. And so I feel like all the things I've kind of had in my head that I would like to do, I haven't really been able to do. So ahead of next week, because I'm already troubled up on Liverpool and I don't think I'm going to get an Everton player, I kind of feel like, well, I might as well just, as long as someone gets injured over the midweek... European fixtures.
Yeah, we've got Europe this week.
Probably just going to hold. Okay. And then have 2 transfers going into 25, which will enable me to do things like target Bournemouth.
Okay. Timber, Elanga, Wood.
What?
Lewis did.
Walker, no, maybe? Shut up. Oh my God, you're going to the shop in a minute. Going straight to the shop to buy me a bar of chocolate.
You guys quite rightly in the chat, quite rightly, Nikolai Holmenay and Tom Meaney, quite right. Salah's away record is phenomenal. You are quite right, folks. If you look at Salah's record away from Anfield, it's good at Anfield as well, right? Let's not rule that out. But away from home this season, he has been spot on. So, yes,
He can't go far either for the Everton game, has he?
No, indeed, no. So, if you were to... my answer to your question before, because I was a bit flaky before, is yes, I would play it. Yes, I would play it. I would be... but a month ago, I would have been 90-10. Now I'm 75-25. But if I had it, I'd play it, I think. Here's my team for this week. 78 points this week. A good week for me.
Didn't play Robinson.
I didn't play Robinson. I benched him. So 78. Yesterday was the day. I had really nothing other than Rodgers today. It was rubbish. So the double Arsenal clean sheet. And if you're going to have two of them, you'd want Gabriel and Raya, I think. And I know that Saliba got the free bonus points, but... you know what? I just feel like Gabriel is, you know, it's the narrative that's been reeled out every single week. But you just like every time they get a corner, you think he's going to score. You think I'm going to get a goal from him, right? Unless it's coming off of Dragosin and Solanke for a no assist, right, from the other week, which was nonsense. But Raya and Gabriel coming in was good. Yeah, I'm with you. I was disappointed in the Trent 5 in the end. That could have been an absolute monster, Could have been a monster. Salah cap is fine. Isak is all good as well. But the star of the show and probably my best transfer so far this season, João Pedro to Gakpo for the 16 pointer. Really, really happy with that. And now, of course, got Gakpo in place for the double game week. So I've got Salah, Gakpo and Trent, which that's fine with me. I'm absolutely cool to be there. And of course, then out of the double game week into game week 25, Liverpool have got Wolves at home, which again looks like a good fixture before we go away to Man City then in 26.
And then we'll also know if you're playing in 29 and if we need to deinvest and all of that stuff. So
yeah, we'll know
it's
more.
It's perfect, I think, to have three for this double.
Yeah, we'll know more. FPL Bruno saying, Lee, Rodgers, a frustration. He was a bit today, mate. Yeah, he was a bit. I think Villa, and if you any Villa fans in, they were a bit of a frustrating watch today against the West Ham team. They played better second half, no doubt about it. But Villa were a bit frustrating.
I think I need to watch that game because obviously I only got home like towards the back end of it.
Mm.
Because my decision for next week will be, do I play Alanga against Brighton or do I play Rodgers?
Difficult one.
And that's a bit more difficult, I think. So I need to probably sit down and watch the highlights of the Aston Villa game. Maybe I'll record Match of the Day so I don't have to watch the Spurs game and then just watch that one later.
So that's my team, 78, up to, well, about 200k, 199k, with a rank change of plus 35. I'm pretty happy with that. It's a good week. We'll take that. We'll move on. We'll bank it. Got my three Liverpool assets in. No Everton. Don't think I'm going to have any Everton. I don't think I am. That might come back to haunt me. Ndiaye might score. Pickford might get a few saves. But I don't see anything in that Everton team that makes me think, I've got to have one of these players for a double game week. I don't see it. Transfers maybe for next week. I have got the exact money right now to do Gordon to Mbeumo. I've got the exact money. And according to the price prediction algorithms that are out there, Mbeumo is due or predicted to go up in price tomorrow night, unless there's a massive surge for him tonight, but I don't see that happening. Gordon is not going up or down. He's going to stay there. So I do have the exact money to do that. So I don't want to miss that Mbeumo price rise, because if I miss it, I won't be able to get him. But Gordon's got Fulham at home. That is not a priority transfer, right? It might be after that. I might want to get him out for those three difficult fixtures from 25, 26 and 27. But I just can't shake off. You know, he's one of my favourite FPL assets. I've said this before, Brian Mbeumo. I think he's great. And coming up against that Spurs side and then nice fixtures after it as well, that might be too good not to do. That might be too good to miss out on. But elsewhere, I don't feel like I want to do anything else. I think the team's in pretty good shape. I'm set for the double. What I've got to think about now, and I think a lot of us will be in this same boat, is what is going to be my game week 29 strategy?
Well, you won't really know for definite until the middle of next week.
Yes, but I'm still thinking about it already. Because if I think about the teams that I expect to get to the Carabao Cup final... and I do think that we'll beat you. So I do think I've got to back us, right? So if, say, Newcastle and Liverpool get there, then I've got Newcastle problems because I've got three of them. I've got Liverpool problems because I've got three of them. I've got Villa problems because I've got Rodgers. And then the other team is what? Palace? And I've got Munoz. So what's that? Eight. So if I'm going to free hit in 29, that's fine. But I don't want to. I want to save that free hit for
later on
in the season, because I think there's some tasty looking stuff coming up in 33.
But I think my point was is that you don't have to. You're absolutely right to be looking at it like that. I've also done those maths and looked at all of the different possible combinations. I have looked at what happens if Arsenal were there, but I haven't really, because I expect Newcastle to see that game out. They're 2-0 up and it's at home. So
they should do.
They should see it out. Even if they don't see it out, Arsenal have got Chelsea, so they'd only lose 3 in total for that game.
Right.
And one of them will be the goalkeeper. I've already got a backup goalkeeper, so it's not the end of the world if that fixture went instead. In fact, that would make it easier to contend with. But I think the thing is that we've got so much notice, because obviously you've got the transfer going into 25, 26, 27, 28, 29. You've got 5 transfers plus any that you carry in to deal with that. And you can hold 3 of these players on your bench. Now, clearly, if it's Liverpool and Newcastle, you're going to hold Salah and Isak on the bench for sure.
Yeah.
But the others, like, that's why I'm thinking, well, maybe Luis Diaz, if Liverpool make it, Luis Diaz, he's probably going anyway, to be honest, but he could go. So I don't think it's a, like, yes, it's a good idea to have it in mind, but I don't think that would make me sell Gordon right now.
No, but I've got to think about it. I've got to think about it, because I don't want to be going into 29 with, you know.
But you could roll it this week and have that transfer for Gordon.
I could. Yeah, I could. I absolutely could, right? Yeah, but that's, again, something that pushes me towards Gordon for Mbeumo as a transfer, is because long term, Gordon is one I'm going to want out.
Yeah.
Assuming he gets to the final. And again, there's a counter narrative there, because the counter narrative is, well, why don't you wait a week, Lee? Gordon's got Fulham at home, and then you'll know by the time he comes around next to play that's whether he is going to be in the Carabao Cup final or not. So I probably am going to roll it. I'm probably going to roll it, because information, I think, is key at this stage of the season. Certainly over the next sort of 2 or 3 weeks, as the next round of the Cup, FA Cup plays out, and the Carabao semis play out, information is going to be more important than a 0.1, 0.2 price rise, even if it means me missing out on Mbeumo.
I totally agree.
I can get him in another way, right? But that is the way I'm thinking about 29, is who can I take out of this team with those precious 5 transfers? The other narrative, the way you can spin it is, well, what do you miss out on from a Palace and Villa perspective in particular, if we sit here and assume that it's a Liverpool-Newcastle final? What do you miss out on? I'm really worried that I'm not going to get Mateta between now and 29, when he could do very, very well, because he blanks in 29. Villa, I'm a bit less worried about missing out on a Watkins or a... probably just a Watkins, to be honest with you. Mateta's the one I'm worried about missing out on. But with Isak, Wood and Gakpo in there, that's okay for next week. And then I'll worry about game week 25 when I get there.
I just think that we've got so much opportunity now with the 5 transfers being able to be rolled.
Yes.
You don't have to. In the past, everything that you just said would have been top priority, actually, to think about this already, because you can only hold the transfers for a week and then they're gone. Whereas now, we can roll 5. You don't have to make these decisions straight away. You can go into 29 with 5 transfers. You can take these players out and then wildcard them back in again for 30. Like, it's really not as... unless everyone starts getting injured again, then you've got issues, and then maybe you spend your transfers and maybe it's a problem. But I think you've got time. Like, you can afford the luxury of waiting for the middle of next week for the League Cup final, semi-final, second legs.
Gordon at home to Fulham is not exactly a bad fixture, is it?
Absolutely not.
No. Not a bad fixture. No. All right then, Sam, captaincy for next week, just before we go. It's got to be Mo, isn't it? Got to be Mo in the double game.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah, he's going to have a pretty high effective ownership, I would suggest. That's it, folks. Thank you for joining us tonight on FPL Family. Tell the good people, Sam, what is coming up this week.
We're going on Sky this week, Lee.
Excellent. Very nice, too.
Oh, Sky with a red arrow. It's just what you need, isn't it? Sky this week. So we'll be doing that on Saturday this week. Though I'll be back with Jules and Kelly on Thursday this week for a podcast. I'll be back for the Q&A on Thursday, but Lee... I don't think Az is around. I've got the feeling Az is on holiday.
Is he?
Something about it's his birthday.
Is it Az's birthday
this
week?
It's coming up.
No way.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look. Remember we went out last year for his birthday? We took a con in the caterpillar cage, remember?
We did do a con in the caterpillar, I remember.
I've got to go back through my look and check which day it is, but it's his birthday and he's on holiday. So I think it will probably be Tom and I on the Q&A this week, but we'll be back doing that on Thursday afternoon. podcast on Thursday morning, Sky on Saturday. I think that's it. Unless you're doing anything major, are you doing anything this week?
Don't think so.
No,
I don't think so. I haven't been off the bench for a while.
I think it's your. I think you might be.
Maybe the week after. Gianni and Praz, is it this week?
It's Gianni and Praz this week, yeah.
Very good. All right, guys. Well, that's it. Game week 23 in the bag. We will do... obviously, I'm going to... We were literally coming onto the live stream as the Man United game was wrapping up. So I will do all the sleeper updates and all that sort of stuff on our social medias. I think last time I looked at sleeper pick'ems, we were... I think it was two. Two people that were in maybe 8 out of 10 category.
Ooh.
8 out of 10. So it's maybe a head-to-head.
This week.
It's a head-to-head. Sleeper Drafter Legends, have we won this week?
Oh, no.
We've gone back to being shit again at Sleeper Drafter Legends. So we were great for a few weeks, now we're crap again.
Yeah, but
What's going on?
Well, so we were beating Gianni quite comfortably, and I was like, right, this is great. We're doing really well.
Yes.
Richarlison scored. He flipping
brought... Hold on, we got Richarlison?
Yeah, we did.
Have we? God.
Yeah. He flipping brought in Sharda.
Did he? What a move.
What are you doing? Suddenly, he's gone from like losing to winning. And I'm just like, right, okay. So
I thought we had Richarlison and Bergvall and all sorts of Spurs, haven't we?
Yeah, we did. And then we flipping lost to Leicester.
Oh,
we
God.
We did have Richarlison.
That's Spurs letting us down again.
Lee. Well, our Liverpool assets didn't do much better either when they conceded their stupid goal, because we were winning really comfortably until Liverpool.
Oh, we got Trent and Ali, haven't we?
Trent and Alisson.
Oh, no. Spurs and Liverpool letting us down in Sleeper Drafter Legends.
Yeah.
On that note, guys, we will bid you a fond farewell. Thank you for joining us here tonight on FPL Family. Leave us a like before you go. Hit subscribe. Look at Sleeper, all that sort of stuff. And we'll see you this time next Sunday when we'll be looking back at Game Week 24, including the first half of the Liverpool double game week. So we'll see you then. Cheers, guys.
Bye, everybody.